Stay tuned for Stage and Studio. And some happy Hawaiian music for today to cool off a little bit on this hot week we're having. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. On today's show, we're going outdoors for Shakespeare in the Park's production of Macbeth and The Merry Wives of Windsor. Portland Actors Ensemble has been around since 1970, providing Shakespeare free to the public. We'll talk with the happy, upwardly mobile couple themselves, the Macbeths, and their director. They're all going to be here on Stage and Studio. And then in the second half of the show, we'll cool up more with a little Hawaiian slack key guitar music. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio, I have Brian Rooney.
Hello.
Good morning. He is Macbeth. And Christy Hernquist, good morning.
Good morning.
And she's his Lady M. And their director here is Jeremy Lilly. Good morning and welcome back, Jeremy.
Good morning.
This is they're all from the Portland Actors Ensemble presenting Shakespeare in the Park. So welcome to Stage and Studio. You've already started your run of the Scottish play in downtown Portland. So how's it been going?
So far, 2 weekends, and we've had a tremendous audience come out.
So far, 2 weekends, we've been out there, and we've had a tremendous turnout so far. We're averaging about 100 people a night. The first night was pretty cold. We had the wind going, but last weekend, the weather was absolutely fabulous.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. And it's going to cool down this weekend a little bit, too, right?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so where exactly is that? Give me a picture of where you're performing.
We are downtown at Pettigrove Park, which is near PSU. It's on an interior block between 1st and 4th Avenues and Harrison and Market. That's a nine-block boundary, and we're inside with the center block in there on a park that's got little green hills and sort of a concrete stage.
And people bring blankets because it does get cold.
Oh, yes, blankets. And I would highly recommend lawn chairs this year because of the way the seating works out.
Lawn chairs and pillows probably,
and
those, too.
Yeah, something hot to drink.
And something hot to drink. And that's unusual. We don't think about that right now, this time of the day. So let's hear from the Macbeths. Have you both done outdoor theater before?
Never.
Never?
I've done one other outdoor performance, but never with Portland Actors Ensemble. This is my premier performance with Portland Actors Ensemble.
Well, tell me, what has been the biggest challenge then? Of course, volume, right? Projecting.
That's it.
Is that the major challenge for you both?
Skateboarders.
Yes.
Dogs.
The bike riders. Well, the biggest challenge is being loud enough and still being, being able to carry the emotion when it gets at softer moments, especially with Lady Macbeth and Macbeth, to still project out to a crowd.
Well, especially when you have those intimate scenes, too, and you're shouting to each other. How do you handle that?
Plug my ears.
Yes.
Why
we do
are
a lot
you
of
shouting?
Leaning just past the ear, you know, cheek to cheek and leaning past the ear so that we're shouting outward.
Well, you know, we joke about that, but that is the biggest challenge for an actor, too, is to be heard. Because if they can't hear your words, what's the point, right?
Right, and you have to articulate, too. That's probably even more important, is just the articulation, because even if you're kind of quiet, you can still be heard if they can see what you're saying, and you can hear at least familiar sounds. So.
Yeah, you can't lose the consonants out there.
Consonants.
Right.
So Jeremy, what kind of exercises have you developed? I know Portland Actors Ensemble does a lot of vocal work just in general and has always done that. That's a big part of the production is the warm-up.
Right. We do a group warm-up about an hour before the show, and we start those early in rehearsal. As soon as possible, we get out there on the space. Not just to learn the blocking, but to get used to the volume and to get used to moments where, oh, you turned a little upstage, everything you were saying just disappeared right there. And then in our group warm-ups, we work on articulation. which I needed more work on, and on volume, yeah, and relaxing the throat. You just, because if you have stiffness in your throat, you're going to burn out your voice on the second night.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Macbeths. I mean, what made you want to do, you know, to direct this play?
It's such a great play, and it's short, which is also a big bonus for when you're doing it outdoors.
It's about 90 minutes, basically, isn't it?
I think this one's coming in about 2 hours with the intermission.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With the intermission.
Right.
And I thought the timeliness of the show as well. It's about a person that thinks he wants to do one particular thing, and all he has to do is, like, we'll just get this little obstacle out of the way. Well, sure, it's a very bad thing. We'll do it, and then we'll be done, and then we'll go on and do what we wanted to do. We can achieve our mission, but... You know, it's never done. It's one little thing keeps happening after the other. It's not we're almost finished. We're gonna be done, and then, you know, the dead people are coming after us.
The dead people are coming. Well, if you just joined us, we're talking with Portland Actors Ensemble and the Portland Tradition, Shakespeare in the Parks, with Brian Rooney, Christy Hernquist, and Jeremy Lilly, and they're talking to me about Macbeth. The bloody play, the unnamed play, the Scottish play. So let's talk about this ambitious couple, and they kill their way to the top, right? And they eventually meet with defeat and death. And it's such a great journey. I mean, it's tragedy, but it's also the kind of things that you would see in movies nowadays.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, there's an Australian version coming out here in a few weeks called M. I found out the other day.
Oh,
where
really?
It's set in the underworld. Ours, as well, happens to be set in the underworld. It's a modern take at it. We were looking for a way to bring this clannishness that's inherent in the play and the explosive violence into modern times, so we went with a mafia type of feel to it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you updated it. It's reversioned.
Yes, we did some cross-gender casting on it. Our Malcolm, for instance, is an actress. Ray Kramer, who's a wonderful actress. We've worked with her before a few years ago in Love's Labor's Lost. I combined some of the roles. Some of them are, you know, the Thanes have become like mob capos. One of the Thanes is more like a counselor, which is also a rank in the mafia as well.
So we're talking Suits here, then?
It's Suits.
Or Sopranos. What are we talking
about? Well, not so much Sopranos.
I
wanted to avoid getting caught up, okay, this is Jersey, and this is so-and-so, and this person's doing this, like, you know, and trying to nail all the accents for all the actors and stuff. Then it becomes about trying to do a show in Bayonne and not about doing McBee.
Exactly. So that's fun, though, to you know, revamp it so that it is more contemporary, too. So I don't see that any of the text or any of the characters really have to change that much in order to fit the
no,
mafia.
Not at all. I mean, most of it fell right in. Traditionally, they tend, gracious King Duncan and Banquo and Macduff are in contrast to the evil Macbeth, and they're played up. They're very good and clean, and we've dirtied those roles a little. We've made them a little more dingy. It's more shades of gray now.
Oh, you mean Banquo is even a little
well,
dirty?
Yeah, well, not. He's got his own ambition as well. When he talks about at the top of Act 2, Scene 1, he talks about the witches and how he has his own ambitions. And I think the difference between Banquo and Macbeth is Banquo does hold back. He's got the same desires. He would like to see the throne too, but he doesn't follow through on it. He stays where he's at. That's too much for him.
So how do you handle the weird sisters, the witches?
Well, that was my number one concern going into the show. I was like, how do you handle witches in a modern role? We could have made them gypsies was one idea, homeless. They were evil accountants at one point, cheerleaders. You know, you can go a lot of different ways. We went more with they're like street teens somewhat. They're neo-pagans.
Neo-pagans. Wow, that's a new word. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So they're a little bit younger than you normally would.
Oh, yes. And they're all my witches are double cast, mm-hmm. as other roles as well. One of them's triple cast.
Wonderful. Wonder how big is the cast?
Cast of 14.
Wow.
And I think only about 4 or 5 of the people are playing one role. Everybody else is playing 2 or 3. Bob Perjansky, who's playing Duncan, also plays 3 other roles. He's on and off stage. He has a whole big suitcase he brings in with all his costumes.
Oh, you have to, don't you now? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no backstage, no dressing area.
Yeah, we have a tent.
And yeah.
we got one of those Fred Meyer awning tents, which we've hung some shower curtains up to sort of block off for...
All right. And you can sell fireworks on the side, too, this weekend. So that's cool. I love hearing about how you do it because, I mean, it isn't about a fancy theater. It's about the theater. It's about creating these roles in front of people and the illusion of it. And you can do that anywhere. And I love that Shakespeare in the Parks does this every year. So let's hear a little bit between the Macbeths. Do you have a scene for us?
Sure. How now? What news?
He hath almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Hath he asked for me?
Know you not he has?
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which would be worn now in their newest gloss, not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since? And wakes it now so green and pale at what it did so freely? From this time such I account thy love. Art thou afeard to be the same in thine own act and valor as thou art in desire? Wouldst thou have that which thou esteem'st the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem, letting I dare not wait upon I would, like the poor cat in the attic?
Oh, prithee, peace! I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
What beast was it, then, that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man. And to be so much more than what you were, you would be so much more the man. Nor time, nor place did then adhere, and yet you would make both. That their fitness now does unmake you. I have given suck, and know how tender 'tis to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from its boneless gums and asked the brains out, had I so sworn as you have done to this.
If we should fail.
We fail? But screw your courage to the sticking place, and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, whereto his day's hard journey shall soundly invite him, his two chamberlains will I with wine and wassail so convince that memory, the warder of the brain, shall be a fume, and the receipt of reason a limbic only. When in swinish sleep their drenched natures lie, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers, who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
Bring forth men children only, for thy undaunted metal should compose nothing but males. Will it not be received when we have marked with blood these sleepy two of his own chamber, and use their very daggers that they have done it?
Who dares receive it other? As we shall make our griefs and clamor roar upon his death.
I am settled, and bend up each corporal agent to this terrible feat. Away, and mock the time with fairest show. False face must hide what the false heart doth know.
Phew, sexual tension all over the place there. That was Brian Rooney as Macbeth, and the man of conscience for this moment in the scene, and Christy Hernquist as Lady Macbeth, who spurs him on to do the killing. Wow, that was great, you two.
Thank you.
It was wonderful. Macbeth runs through July 15th at Pettigrove Park in downtown Portland. Now, there are two Shakespeare in the Parks this season, and the other one is Merry Wives, and it's about to open this weekend, and we're just joined by, next weekend?
End of July.
Well, you know, it's coming up. It's coming up. So see Macbeth first. But let's talk a little bit about Merry Wives. And just joining us now is Michael Cook, who's the artistic director of Shakespeare in the Parks and Portland Actors Ensemble. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about what's going on with the process with Merry Wives, too. The director is John Monteverdi, who we know as the artistic director of the Northwest Children's Theater. So who are the Merry Wives, and what's going on with it?
Well, it's fun. We thought it was kind of a timely show to bring to the parks, a little bit lighthearted, and we're calling it our Not-So-Desperate Housewives Tour. Every year, each touring show, each Shakespeare in the Park show gets its own little title, a tour title, and I thought that was pretty
timely. I kind of like that, because they are kind of desperate at times, though.
A little bit,
they are housewives.
They are, yep.
Now, is it being set contemporary?
No, it's actually not contemporary. Generally, with the touring show, we stick to being a little more classical and a little more truer to the text and the time.
So it is Elizabethan, then?
It will be Elizabethan, yeah.
All right, or will be. So has it been cast already, and is it in rehearsal?
It is in rehearsal. We just started rehearsing last week. actually.
So who are the Merry Wives?
Actually, our director is Macbeth is actually one of the actors in Merry Wives.
Oh, okay. So. Tell us about that, Jeremy. We're so lucky to have you here.
I'm playing George Page, and my real life wife Margaret Darling is playing Mistress Page. And for the Fords, we have Michael Streeter as Master Ford, and Clara Liss Hillier is our Mistress Ford. And our Falstaff this year, we were fortunate enough to land Daniel Shaw.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like a very strong cast there. It's a lot of fun. I mean, this one is, you know, sort of the I Love Lucy of Shakespeare's play.
If he wrote a sitcom, you know, this one is it.
I mean, there's so much situation comedy going on there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we've gone through blocking rehearsals. We're about halfway through the blocking, and there's just so much stuff that's crammed in there bit after bit, and a lot of physical comedy. We're really playing up that end for this production.
So it's very ambitious to do two shows in one season. You did that last year. And so how did that fare?
It's a little taxing on the resources of the company. We are an all-volunteer organization, but that's worked for 37 consecutive years. And doing what we call the Twilight Tragedy now allows us to explore different parts of the canon, do some of the tragedies. And although it stretches a little thin, the company's a little stronger than it's been in the past, and we've made it work, and the support from the Portland community's been there. So we're going to keep bringing it.
Well, I want to encourage, even though it's free to the public, and it's wonderful to offer that people kind of tip the donation hat a little bit after the show, especially, because it is a labor of love. Most people aren't getting paid for this, I assume.
Certainly. Yeah. The board is all volunteer. We do try to pay our actors what we can, but all of their compensation comes directly from audience donations. Once the shows cover their costs, we share a portion of the proceeds with the actors.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's an important aspect to go through. Let's run through. Macbeth runs through July 15th in the urban setting of Pettigrove Park, and the Merry Wives of Windsor opens Saturday, July 29th, and it runs Saturdays and Sundays at 3 o'clock through Labor Day. So it's a real entire summer that this is happening, and it's Labor Day falls on Monday, September 4th, too, so that's when they close. The production travels to different parks each weekend for Merry Wives. Let's go through this park schedule, because it's pretty intense, and you can hear more about it at portlandactorsensemble.org. Laurelhurst Park, that's where you open, July 29th. You get a split thing going on here, and it comes back August 5th, is
yes,
that right?
Yes. The last couple of years, it happened to fall on the same weekend as the Portland Festival Symphony, who does a very similar thing to what we do. They've been doing it, I think, 18 years now, free symphony out in the park. And the competition with the noise was just too much.
Oh, they were playing at the same time as
Well, they're
performing.
Not playing, but they're warming up. They start at 6, but they start setting up and warming. That's right by where we were.
Yeah, you got enough competition with dogs and things.
So we decided to switch it up. The thing was, so many people make it a tradition to come to Laurelhurst that last weekend in July that we didn't want to give up that date, so we worked out a split date.
Wonderful.
On there, because they do their Sunday shows in a different location altogether.
Okay, so Laurelhurst, July 29th and August 5th. Washington Park, again, July 30th and August 6th. Is it the symphony again?
It's because we wanted to get Laurelhurst on two dates at Laurelhurst.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Okay, Lynchwood Park. Now, where is that?
Lynchwood is all the way out on about 172nd Avenue. It's out near Centennial. In fact, I think it shares space with Centennial Elementary.
So towards Gresham then?
Oh, yes, way out by Gresham. It's in part of our mission is to take the theater to people. I mean, we can do theater downtown. It's centrally located, but there's
not
a lot
everybody
going.
Comes
yeah,
downtown.
Yeah, not everybody comes downtown, and there's not a lot happening out in Gresham. There are a few companies, and we try to take it out to
That's
them.
That's wonderful.
Our goal is to reach as many different demographics as possible to bring theater to the people.
So. Well, Lynchwood Park, that's happening August 12th. That's a Saturday, and Sunday, August 13th. And then we have Gabriel Park, which is in North Portland. Am I correct in that? Where is
it? Right by Multnomah Village. And that's
Southwest.
One of our...
Oh, right.
Yeah,
Southwest.
Right, one of our largest audiences that we get every year is at Multnomah. And we do it during Multnomah Days. The little festival they hold out there in mid-August every year.
Oh, so August 19th and August 20th is also Multnomah Days then?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. And then Vancouver, so you are reaching a wide demographic. You're going to the Vancouver Amphitheater, and it's really an amphitheater.
It is.
Yeah. So that's kind of fun to play in. That's happening August 26th and August 27th, Vancouver. It's Washington State University's, I assume, WSU, Vancouver Amphitheater. And then you close on at Reed College, which is also a tradition. Is that still in the Rhododendron Gardens? Or
no, we used to do it in the Rhododendron Gardens, and about 1991, 93, right in there, the Rhody Gardens became a pay type of place, so we took it right nearby to Reed College. And so we've been doing it there for, I don't know, about 15 years now or so.
And where at Reed College are you performing?
Right on the front lawn in front of Elliott Hall. There's a group of oak trees that we tend to try to tuck it under there.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And that's happening September 2nd, September 3rd, and September 4th. A big weekend, big closing weekend for Portland Actors Ensemble and Shakespeare in the Parks. So directions to these park locations for both shows are available on their website at portlandactorsensemble.org.
Portlandactors.com.
Portlandactors.com.
.org got bought out.
Oh, bummer.
Unfortunately.
Okay. So remember that, portlandactors.com. For information, you can call 503-467-6573. That's 467-6573. And I want to thank everybody, the whole quartet here, for coming today. Even though it's free, I like seeing people donate to the theater after they see the production of the parks. So I encourage you to tip the donation hat after you see Shakespeare in the Parks. So Brian Rooney, thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
And Christy Hernquist, Lady M, thank you for coming. And Jeremy Lilly, thank you for being here again. And we have Michael Cook.
Thank you for having us.
First time, and welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you.
So we wish you great success for the season and many more to come, right? So next up, we cool off a little bit to the sounds of Hawaiian slack key guitar. This is Stage and Studio. Mae Roberts with the Crossing East Music Feature. Slack key guitar started when Hawaiian cowboys didn't like the tuning style of the Mexican vaqueros who introduced the guitar to Hawaii, so they loosened the strings to strum without forming a lot of chords and created a new sound.
You have all these open strings. You can just strum. You don't have to hold a chord. You know, you have all these open strings. And all you have to do is press bar and let's see.
Ledward Ka'apana, master slack key guitarist, demonstrates how he tunes open chords on his guitar.
It's a G chord, but we call them the taro patch tuning.
Taro patch tuning refers to farming the staple foods of Hawaii, the taro plant. During a break, Hawaiian workers would gather, tune their guitars, and play music that's been passed on for more than 170 years. Ledward Ka'apana is 100% Hawaiian. He grew up on the Big Island, the birthplace of slack key guitar, where his whole family played music outside for all of nature to hear.
But in the country, you know, when I was growing up, it was so quiet, and I mean, that's all you could hear is this music. You know, my dad then playing, my uncles, grandpas, and you know, grandmas, they were singing and playing slack key, and chickens and roosters crowing alongside, you know.
Slack
Lucky Guitar's been passed down from Hawaiian to Hawaiian, mostly through family members, in a feeling of aloha, another word for joy or longing.
Because I guess it's played with the soul, you know. I mean, the Hawaiian just played with the feelings. Everything was feelings.
Flatkey experienced a renaissance in the 70s when musicians were playing in clubs all over Hawaii. Master guitarist Keola Beamer published the first instructional book on flatkey during this time. Other ethnicities have long been drawn to the music. Katani lives in Hawaii, but is not of Hawaiian ancestry. He grew up in Honolulu listening to slackkey.
When I first started to play, and I love slackkey, and I love to listen to all the wonderful music, and I wanted to mimic everybody. Every piece I learned, I tried to play exactly as I heard it on the recording. And of course, you know, I was seeking acceptance and approval, and hopefully in the end I'd be able to jam with the Hawaiians and learn from them, etc. It was a painful process for me.
Eventually, Katani was taught by slackkey masters Sonny Chillingsworth and Keola Beamer. Now, after 20 years, he's released several CDs and teaches other people, yet still considers himself a student.
The work ahead of me, if I want to figure out lead stuff or Keola stuff, Gabby Pahinui's music, a lot of the players I know now are the players I listened to and who influenced me. So, you know, I respect them tremendously, and I'm just honored to know them.
Slackkey guitar has grown, but Ka'apana's main goal is to write more music.
Just keep on adding, you keep on creating. You find new things when you play with the guitar. I guess if you don't do it, you're going to do the same thing every day. Yeah, you know, you like to go beyond, keep on different things.
Ka'apana will continue finding new things playing his guitar as one of 9 master clinicians chosen by Taylor Guitars to teach slackkey around the world. For more info, go to crossingeast.org. This Crossing East music feature was made possible by the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Dina Roberts.
You can also find out more about the Slackkey Guitar and their festivals at slackkeyguitarfestivals.com. Next week, we present a special presentation of The Lemon Tree. It's an award-winning documentary that explores the roots of the Arab-Israeli conflict through the intertwined stories of an Israeli woman and a Palestinian man. Produced by Sandy Tolan, who will be in Portland July 5th at Powell's at 7:30 to talk about his book, The Lemon Tree, of the same name. The book has been getting great reviews around the country, so we thought we'd play the documentary on which it was based. The Lemon Tree plays next Tuesday, 4th of July, at 10:15 a.m. That's 10:15 a.m., a special stage and studio presentation. Till then, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
Press Watch will be on at a new time Thursday mornings, 30 minutes earlier, at 9 o'clock. I'm Teresa Mitchell, inviting you to tune in at 9 a.m. Thursdays to examine all the stories that corporate media would rather spin or ignore. What's the latest on global warming, imperial wars, corporate-owned government, and the fascistization of the United States? Find out Thursdays at 9 here on KBOO, People-Powered Community Radio.